So, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Andrei Mocano. I'm a support escalation engineer from the Exchange Online team. Welcome to this webcast on how to read an advanced message trace. The webcast shouldn't take more than 1 hour, and you can interrupt me during the presentation for any questions. Okay, so let's see what we have on the agenda for today. So we'll discuss about how to collect an advanced message trace, how to read it, and why do we need these advanced message traces. Right, so let's go ahead with the first topic, that is how to collect an advanced message trace. We have two possible ways to do that. The first way is on this slide, and that is through PowerShell using the start historical search commandlet. You have an example here. And for more details about this start historical search commandlet, you can have a look at this nice article we've got on TechNet. The interesting part, let's say, in this article is that you have all the attributes available and what they mean and what they are used for on this commandlet. Okay, now that's one way of getting it through PowerShell. There's another way of getting it, and that is through the portal itself from the GUI. So if you log in on the EAC as an admin and go to Mailflow and then Message Trace, you'll have to you'll then so yeah you'll then get to this page. Then the next step, you'll have to go and select a custom date range. Then go to the date range or the date here and select a range bigger than 7 days. So I'll select a range, let's say 8 days. Now, the reason I'm doing this is to have this checkbox available here together with the other options here. But the most important thing is this checkbox, which says include message events and routing details with report. I'm gonna go with a smaller interval, let's say, and you will see the checkbox and the other fields disappearing. And when I'm going with a bigger interval, that is bigger than 7 days, and in my case 8 days, the checkboxes and the other fields appear. The thing is that this checkbox is mandatory in order to get a extended message trace, and this is the reason I'm doing this. So I've checked the box. We can choose the sender and the recipient. Let's say we're going to choose emails sent from bad user to the recipient CEO, let's say. So we're doing, let's say, an investigation on what kind of emails this bad user sent to the CEO. We leave the fields directions all, let's say. The title, I will leave it like this, but we can also give it a name, like investigating emails sent to CEO or anything else that to you is relevant. And then you're gonna put in a notification email address where you will receive an email with the link and the fact that this extended message trace is now available for you. So you'll get notified through an email that the trace is done. So I'm going to type in my admin address. So you basically need an internal address here in order to work. So when I say internal, I say a user from your organization. So admin at and then press on search. Right, so at this point, the commandlet So behind the scene, it actually ran the same command, let's start historical search. But basically, the action went, or the request went to the server, and it will be processed, I don't know, maybe in a couple of hours, let's say. At that point, you will receive an email with the link to download the CSV file that contains this extended message trace. Another way you could get the extended message trace, or to see the status of it, you have this little button here, let's say, yeah, or link, view pending or completed traces. And if you click on it, you'll see the list of pending or completed traces. Yeah. And as we see here, we have this, this trace that we've just requested. It's not yet started. We can see about it, and that's about it. We can cancel it, and when it will be available, you will have a button here to download it. Yeah. Okay. So I'll close this and move on to the presentation. Now on this slide we have a nice, let's say, side by side comparison between a simple message trace and an advanced or extended message trace. What we can see from here is that when it comes to extended message traces or advanced message traces, they do, let's say, consume some resources from the data center. And therefore, there's a limit on how many you could run daily. And that is, you can maximally, or you can run as much as 15 extended message traces per tenant per day. Yeah. And when it comes to basic or simple message traces, there is no actual limit. We only call them reasonable limits, let's say. Yeah. Now, what about the size of an extended message trace compared to a simple message trace? Now, a simple message trace can contain up to 500 lines, and an advanced message trace can contain up to 5,000 lines, or 5 megabytes, the size of the CSV generated. Yeah, so the CSV file which is generated can't be bigger than 5 megabytes. All right, and the other details which you've got here, which are, let's say, interesting. Okay, so moving forward with this, I want to talk about how do we read this advanced message traces. And for this, I'm gonna take an example I have here. This is a CSV file that contains the advanced message trace. This is how I just got it and, let's say, opened it. And what I do for the first time, I go into the first cell here, and then I sort by the time and date, and then auto filter it. Okay, the reason why I'm sorting is to have the events appear in chronological order when it first touched our servers, and the last one should be potentially when it was delivered, and if there are any other events after it was delivered the message. Okay, and the reason for filtering it is to, maybe we have some additional messages in the trace, so it's not only one message, maybe it contains 100 messages, maybe, and then we auto filter it in case we want to show only one particular message ID. In this example, I have only one message ID, and we can see it here. Great. So once we sort it and filter the file, then I'll take a look at the event ID column, for any interesting event ID types or event types. Yeah, and I first take a look at. So first thing that comes to mind is this guy here, the fail event. This tells me that something went wrong and the message wasn't delivered. Then the deliver event tells me that definitely the message was delivered to the mailbox. So what I'm going where I'm going with this is that we can't know all of these events by heart, or maybe we do, but if we don't, then we have an article that describes what they all mean, and this is the article. And I think I've got it. Yeah, I've got it in the presentation as well in the deck. And basically, all of these events are described here, in case we don't know what they mean. Yeah. So drop, for instance, defer, expand, HA discard, and so on. Yeah. All of these events are described what they mean. Great. So let's see what else we can find out from this extended message trace. So let's go to the last column here, which is the custom data column. Yeah, and this is another thing that it's interesting and we should be looking at in an advanced message trace. And I'm referring to this particular cell that contains the S colon AMA text, let's say. So it begins with this. Yeah. So if I'm going to select, so I'm going to select all this stuff over here, and I'll put it in a Word file or Notepad. And I've already done this and colored them, just maybe to see them better. And the reason I'm doing this is because it contains some interesting events that happened with the that occurred on this particular message. Yeah. So what I'm referring to is this information. And if I'm gonna go back to the slide for a bit, we'll see that I'm talking about the anti-malware agent, the spam filter agent, and the transfer rule agent. Okay. Now, the anti-malware agent is the agent that scans the message or the attachments that are inside the message for any malware, yeah, or any signs of malware. And in this section, we can see what actions this anti-malware agent has done. Okay. We also have an article on this because maybe we don't know all of these events by heart. Yeah. So we have an article that that describes them, and I also pasted the URL to the article in the slide deck. And if we go to the anti-malware agent section, we can see that V equals one means that it has actually found the virus in the attachment. If it would have been V equals zero, then there was no virus. So V equals one, there's a virus. Action. What action has this anti-malware agent did on that particular attachment? And action equals R, it means it was replaced. So the file, the attachment was replaced. Another interesting information we can find here is that the name of the agent that has scanned or found this particular virus, the signature or the version of the definitions of that anti-malware agent. Okay, Victor, I'm going to zoom a bit. Is that better? Cool. So we can see the version of the definitions, and we can also actually see the name of the virus that was found in the attachment and the file that contained that virus. Okay. Now, this is the anti-malware agent, and this is what AMA stands for. Now, the other stuff or the other section is the transport rule agent. This is what TRA means or stands for. It will tell you what actions were taken upon a message by transport rules. Okay, so what we see here is actually this text here is actually the GUID of a transport rule. Yeah, this doesn't necessarily mean that these transport rules have done something to the email. Yeah, they maybe they just went through those rules, but no actions have been taken upon them. Okay. If you want to be sure that a particular transport rule has done something to an email, you should be looking for the word action equals and the value. Yeah, and let's see if we have. I think we have an example here in the article. Transport rule agent. There it is. Yeah, this is what they mean. Yeah, this is the same thing it described here, that it's followed by the GUIDs and action equals and what action was done on that particular email. And I think we've got an example here. Yeah, there we go. We have the action to apply a disclaimer. If we do not see the action equal followed by that particular action, then the transport rule didn't do anything to the email. Yeah, but if we see it, then yes, it did. It did that particular thing to the email, and we know what transport rule affected by taking a look at the GUID. Good. Now let's take a look. What's next on this field? The next section is the spam filter agent. This is what SFA stands for. This information can also be seen in the header of an email. And you may be familiar with, headers like SCL SCL may be the most important thing that comes to mind, but yeah, they are described also here in this section with the transport with the spam filter agent. Yeah, so for instance, the I equals SQ means that the message was quarantined. Okay, let's see what do I have here? The I equals nothing. That means it didn't take any action on it. Or H equals and the name of the server. It means what server sent this email. Yeah. So again, this is the these are the actions taken by the spam filter agent, which marks an email with spam or not spam and stuff like that. Okay, let's see. I think we've got a question. What if a transport rule has two actions on an email? If a transport rule has two actions on an email, I think we're gonna see both of those actions in the events here. Yeah, in the logs. I'm not 100% sure, but I think yes. I mean, there is no reason for the log not to show the two actions. So most likely, yeah, we'll see the two actions in the logs. Does that answer your question, Christina?
Yes, thank you.
Great, thanks. So another thing interesting that can be seen from an advanced message trace is this section here. and it can be found in the I think the F column in the extended message trace. Yeah, F column, the source context column, is this guy here. And what does it mean is that we have the GUID of the mailbox that sent the message. We have the GUID of the mailbox database where the mailbox sending the message was being active on. Okay. We have the class of the message that was sent. For instance, we know that IPM.node stands for a message, an email. Yeah, so this is a regular email, IPM.node. So we know that an email was sent. And another interesting thing is that we know what kind of client sent out this email. And MOMT stands for Outlook. So we know that Outlook was used to send this email at this time and date from this particular mailbox on this particular database. Yeah, and we know this information from the advanced message trace. Let's see, I think we've got another question. This means that both rules have actioned on that message. That is why we have one transport rule stop processing more rules. Okay, I think it was an answer to the previous question. Okay. This was one. Thanks. Okay. So, moving forward. All right. Okay. Right. So, is this clear so far? Are there any other question before I continue? Okay. No. If there are, then I'll continue with the, let's say, the scenario part. So what I like to, or actually, I remember that I wanted to show you something before going into the scenarios, because I've recently seen an article, and I'm talking about this article, and I'll paste it in the okay, so this is a nice or very quick way of parsing or looking through the S column AMA section or cell or field, let's say, and we're gonna use Notepad++ for that. Yeah. So what do we need to do is we basically go to the cell. Yep, that's the cell. We select all the text. Copy. We'll paste it in Notepad++. And at this point, we only have one line of text. Okay. And maybe it's not that easy to go through, but using this quick trick. Yeah, so we're going to do replace, and we want to replace semicolon with backslash n, and then make sure you choose the extended here, because I think by default is normal, but we'll choose extended. Backslash n stands for new line. Okay, so we're going to replace all semicolon with a new line, and then we do replace all. There we go. So we have everything on one line, and it's more easier to go through. Okay. Now we've got the anti-malware agent doing its stuff. We've got the transport rule agent doing its stuff. And then I think we should be seeing the spam filter agent somewhere in here as well. I think that's the guy. Yeah. Okay, so we easily separated them. Okay. Right. Okay, so let's move forward on the scenario stuff. Now, Why do we need these advanced message traces? Because there is information in there that definitely is not visible in the simple message trace, and these are some examples. Okay, so the scenario in this slide is that, let's say, we have a manager who has an assistant set up as an Outlook delegate, and this particular manager does not receive meeting invites anymore. He can receive simple messages, simple emails, but he never receives meeting invites. Okay, so now doing an investigation and doing or getting an extended message trace, you will see this event here. You will see that those meeting invites get dropped. Okay, and the reason for is that message is deleted by mailbox rules. What could it mean? Yeah, it means that this option was chosen from the manager's Outlook delegates section. So what this option stands for is that, or what it means is that, the meeting invites will only be sent to the delegates and not to the manager as well. So that's why he never receives those meeting invites, because there's a special, I think it's a hidden as well, yeah, hidden inbox rule created at the mailbox level that drops these meeting invites, and they are only delivered to the assistant. Okay, right. So moving forward with the next scenario, let's say we have a CEO that doesn't receive emails anymore. Yeah, we know that this is a big thing. Okay, so we start the investigation using a simple message trace. Of course, that would be the first thing that we do. Okay, and we see that those messages, using the simple message trace, we see that the emails sent to him are redirected to another mailbox due to a transfer rule, but we can't see what transfer rule is doing this. The reason why we can't see what transfer rule is doing this is because that particular transfer rule has, or it is set to do not audit. If it would have been a regular transfer rule set to audit, for instance, or not specifically set to do not audit, then you will see what transfer rule has done this. But if it's set to do not audit, simple message trace will not show you what transfer rule has done it. Then you go to the advanced message trace, and once you got that, you will definitely see what transfer rule has done this. Yeah, you even get the GUID and the name of the transfer rule that has done the redirect, as we see here. Okay, good. So any questions so far related to the scenarios? They are clear? Okay, good. So the next scenario I wanted to talk about is nice thing that an advanced message trace can tell you is if a particular recipient was BCC'd to an email. Yeah, you can't see that in the body of the message. You can't see that. You can see that in a simple message trace, but you can't definitely know that it was BCC'd. So all the simple message trace shows you is that the message was delivered indeed to that extra person. Let's call it bad person, okay, or bad user. Yeah, but it doesn't show you how come that email got there. If we generate an advanced message trace based on that message ID, yeah, let's say, you will definitely know that the recipient was BCC'd. And by looking at this line, which I highlighted here, and if you look in the N column, column, you can see that the first recipient was BCC'd and the other recipient was put in the to field, yeah, which is also visible in Outlook or in OWA. You know, you can see that the CU was in the to field, but the BCC you definitely can see. Yeah. Right. So the next scenario, I wanted to confirm you that this behavior is by design and it's expected behavior. And what does behavior, or what is this behavior? Let's consider this scenario that you have a user inside the organization that has out of office enabled, okay, for both internal and external users. And a user from inside the organization sends an email to this colleague of his. If you do a message trace, you will always see two automatic replies sent for that particular recipient or sender, whatever. Yeah. So you'll always see two automatic replies sent. One will always be failed, and one will always be or should be delivered. But why do we see two of them and one is failed and one is delivered? Reason why, and this is expected behavior, is because the service generates two out of office messages or auto reply messages. Because you remember, you've got the option to put a certain text for internal people and a certain text for external people. And you have, and you, if you have enabled to reply to both internal and external people, you will have two replies generated. One will be failed and one delivered. But why? So the one that fails is the one destined for external people, yeah, so or external users, because the service sees that the recipient is an internal user and it drops the message or the automatic reply destined for external users. So the user will only, at the end of the day, the user will only get the message destined for internal users, and the one destined for external users will get dropped. So yeah, I just wanted to just clarify that this is expected behavior, right? So that's it from me. If you have any questions or feedback, I'm ready for them. Okay, so if you don't have any questions, you can always contact me directly, or you can follow up with us on our regular channels, and yeah,
we will post the the registration on channel 9, and yeah, you can go there and revisit it at any time, or contact directly us.
Great. So thanks, Razvan. All right, well, thank you again, everybody. And see you again on our next webcast.